Welcome to episode number 22 with Nicola Farrell, the program manager of Mura D, one of Australia's leading accelerator programs. Today, we talk all about the Australian startup scene, what it's like to work for an accelerator, or tips for founders applying to different programs. We dive all into early stage ventures and have a great conversation. I'm so excited to share with you Nicola's story of being born and raised in Ireland and then making the trip overseas to Australia and all that she has learned along the way.
You're listening to the Real Capitalist Podcast. We are a global community building strong female icons in the startup ecosystem. Each week, we interview a female founder or venture capitalist with tangible advice to help bring your goals to the next level. Here is your host, Courtney Real, and let's dive into today's interview.
Hey guys, welcome to the Real Capitalist Podcast. Today I have Nicola Farrell on the show and we're so excited to have you.
Thanks, great to be here.
So for our listeners who don't yet know you, tell us a little bit about your background, what your role is, and your mission to take over the world.
Wow, that's big. I suppose I'm not as ambitious to taking over the world, but I like to think that the little bit I contribute is going to make a bit of an impact across startups and innovation and just changing how we think about moving forward. So I started my career in sales, very customer-centric roles, was always very customer-facing. I cut my teeth in entrepreneurship and the startup scene, working in a couple of startups in Dublin before landing in a great job in the Web Summit, which is now a lot bigger than it used to be. It was at a time where Ireland's startup scene was it was taking off, and a lot of people across Europe were very much interested in connecting and networking. And my role at the Web Summit was all about sales, so selling to tech companies or selling to anybody that wants to learn more about tech. But my job was made very, very easy by having an amazing marketing strategy behind it. So ultimately, my role became driven by building relationships with accelerators and incubators and just being a highly connected person across the scene. And while it was a short gig, I certainly learned a lot about startups and got to grips with being in a role where you will be doing event management one minute and then switching roles into sales. And that was just part of the course. And then I decided to leave Ireland and came to Australia. So I've been in Australia for 7 years now. So 7 years working within the startup scene here. And at the time, Australia's startup scene was pretty limited. I just got invited to Fishburner's eighth birthday, which I cannot believe. It's 8 years since Fishburner started. And that's almost the length of time I've been in Sydney. So Fishburner's would be like the largest co-working space for startups. I joined Pollinizer, which was one of Australia's first incubators, very focused on providing tech to entrepreneurs who wanted to bring their ideas to life, and was around that whole journey of consistent pivoting, looking at new business models, and eventuated into helping corporates develop their own plans for incubation and innovation. Stayed there for about 5 years, which was a very interesting time, before Pollinizer shut its doors and I moved on to one of our clients, which was AGL. So AGL is one of the largest energy companies in Australia, and I was helping them within their R&D department, so developing an ecosystem for, you know, better connecting people to their energy and, you know, how they're living their life from more of a future perspective. So smart home, connected home. All before I came to Mura D, which is my home now. And I'm running the Sydney program. So I'm the program manager for Sydney. And we've just kicked off our sixth cohort here. And we've welcomed 10 teams in the door. And we are in week one. So it's a very exciting time here.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Wow, you're an OG, essentially, of the Australian startup scene. So I'm very excited today to dive into all of that and get to learn your story there. So let's start from the very beginning, just to educate listeners. What is an accelerator? How do businesses get into them? Give us kind of your take on the benefits of an accelerator and kind of a high-level overview of what they are.
Yeah, so an accelerator is a program. So, you know, I talk a lot about the economics of accelerators, and one of that is being time. Time, everything is about time when you're an accelerator, and there's never enough of it. And we do a 6-month program, but there are other programs that do 3 months, 5 months, and all in between. But ultimately, there is a start date and an end date for, you know, for the typical look at an accelerator. So the whole purpose or the premise around being an accelerator is that you want to apply speed to your company, not necessarily going a million miles an hour, but learning how to become more efficient and manage speed effectively so that you can reach your goals. So you'll want to enlarge your networks. You want to get better connected. You want to find customers faster. You'll probably want to expand your team and look at new markets. So those are the typical types of things the founders will be interested in when they join an accelerator. But again, one size does not fit all. So I suppose when you think about the benefits, it all needs to kind of tie back into what does the founder want to achieve and how is that going to make impact on the company?
Exactly. I think that's so true. So let's talk about MerOD then. What are the specific or unique characteristics of the program that you guys host in Sydney that founders should look at when they're applying for an accelerator? What makes you guys different than the rest?
So we offer co-working space for pretty much the year, certainly the time in the program, but a little bit after. And we are connected to Telstra. So Telstra is our main backer. And we do involve Telstra into the ecosystem in that we provide connections for mentorship and guidance. We have a great team of EIRs. So we've got 3 entrepreneurs in residence, which is a new formula that I've put together this year, which includes our general lead EIR, who is Alan Jones, who's a very well-known startup person in Sydney. And he's accompanied by Steve Bukhausen and Natalie Yankarczewski. And both of those are kind of tops and tails for product and tech. And my view is that you need to have a different kind of skill set across different teams to really empower and grow and help startups go through that process of discovery and change. And I think, you know, okay, it's only week one, but we have seen that a lot of companies or a lot of the founders are already sinking their teeth into working directly with the tech person, and that tech EIR is helping them not only with just the tech stack, but also helping them, you know, hire developers, how do they create job specs, all those things that are a founder, all the things that the founder needs to do to make their company stronger and evolve better.
Exactly. And I was formerly an EIR, and I think it's the best job in the world as someone who loves startups, is you just get to be around awesome companies all the day and help them progress. So just shout out to any EIRs out there. It's the best job.
But they have the best job.
EIRs
are happy as Larry.
I don't know if it's even fair to call it a job, because it's more of a really fun hobby that someone pays you to do. And things and you get to work on the ground with founders every day and really engage and help them grow. And I think that's a really special part of accelerators, is looking at who their EIRs are and how they're connected, because that makes a huge difference as a company going through an accelerator of who that network is and how they can connect you. I would love to know, what stage are these companies going through the accelerator? Are they MVP? Are they just coming up with their ideas? Who's coming through these accelerators? And what kind of key metrics do you look for when accepting a batch?
So we do look for past MVP, so they have to have some working product to, it doesn't have to be very built out, but they have to be able to demonstrate that they've done some form of customer validation. So they can clearly define their customer, they understand that they've done a lot of research around their customer. They're, you know, you just need to ask them how often they're talking to customers. We also look at the team, like, is it how many co-founders? Unusually, we actually have a lot of single founders in our cohort this time, but that is, they are supported by a team. So even though you might not be able to get a co-founder, if you can get somebody on the journey and you're getting somebody to carry the load, that can often be as effective. It's not ideal, but it's certainly something that we can support. So we are looking for also teams that have, you know, are able to explain, you know, the impact that this idea or this concept is going to have on the world. So are they looking globally? Can they talk about how big this is going to be? What is their plan about going outside of Australia? Like, how, you know, they need to be quite ambitious about this, and they need to be able to describe that. And then we also look at other things. There's lots of different type of dynamics that we would be looking for. You know, we look at the cohort as a whole. So there's a lot of companies that will be selling to enterprise. So it's good that we have a lot of people that are kind of moving in the same cluster. And that in effect helps us, or helps me as a program person, design experiences so that they are fundamentally reaching the goals that they need to.
Yeah, and then that's a perfect segue into, what is your role at the accelerator? What does it mean to be a program manager? And what does kind of, no day looks the same at an accelerator, I know that, but kind of what does a week look like for you? How are you engaging with founders? And what does that role look like for you?
Yeah, so high level, and I think every accelerator has a program manager and it's defined differently. So my role is very much high level strategy. So designing the program, designing experiences and content, bringing the team together. So making sure we have the EIRs in place, they're different EIRs. You know, we don't want three EIRs that are all the same. That's not going to be effective. And then also making sure that we have community support. And so we also have a fantastic community ops person that helps drive the day-to-day activity. But, you know, I'm very much around and in getting into the nitty-gritty with the team and working with the founders on a day-to-day basis, understanding their problems. But my role is clearly defined as ensuring progress is happening. So and that can come down to, you know, what are we tracking week on week from a founder level, and then also on a program level. So how are we moving the dial for founders, but how are we staying accountable as a program? And, you know, I think a lot of people, and I think my view has changed, but people have different views on how important a program is for founders' progress, and also having a very structured program. So Muridi is not as heavily structured as my programs that I ran at Pollinizer, because at Pollinizer we were very early stage, whereas at Muridi the companies are a lot more advanced. Some of these people are working on their businesses for 2 to 3 years, and they are all, you know, highly experienced, have come from professional backgrounds, and they're fully competent to manage their time. But what they do need, it can be often very selective to the business that they're running.
Yeah, I think that's so true, and that's so interesting. So now, as looking at these companies, you've seen probably many, many companies pitch to you and to Muridi. What would your advice be for companies that are trying to stand out to get into a program like this? As they're applying, many startups apply to a few different accelerator programs. So what would your advice be to founders trying to stand out in the sea of many startups through your experience? What has kind of stood out to you as far as credentials?
So this year we got 184 applications, and I ran through every single one of them, and we then, you know, brought it down to a smaller number and then a smaller number. But ultimately what really stands out are the ones that I may have met before. So I know that's not always practical, but if you can go to the events, the pre-events that are happening, show up. We actually had 7 events before we kicked off going into interviews. So there was lots of opportunities for people to come up and say hello. Another really great way to stand out is to find out who the mentors are and get the mentors to refer them to the team. Because if I look at all of the referrals, the mentors were the strongest. They were encouraged. Like, we encourage mentors to send us who they think will be good for the program because they will know very well. But ultimately, the mentors were the strongest referrals, and we would always pay quite close attention to those specific startups.
Yeah, I think that is great advice. And oftentimes, I'm sure you guys see this in your accelerator, it might take a few times of applying to get in. And so just being around and being present and getting to know the ecosystem surrounding the accelerator can be very helpful in terms of getting, you know, access to mentors or to the partners or to the managers is very sound advice. So thank you for sharing that.
Just on that, like, if you are going to apply and then reapply again, what are the changes that you've made? Like, who have you listened to and how have you implemented those changes really quickly? And being able to talk that through, that will be very effective. We met so many founders that we had seen through other programs that may not have actually implemented what they said they would. And that, again, doesn't really demonstrate, I don't like to say the word, but the coachability of the founder. It's a very overused word in accelerators, but it is something. It's not about doing what people say. It's about taking things in and at least trying some of that to evidence whether that is a direction that you should take.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And oftentimes, founders, it's really important to show milestones. So you're going to get a lot of advice from a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And it's your job as a founder to take it all in, appreciate it all, take with a grain of salt also where it comes from, but set goals and show that to whether that's investors or accelerators of, by Q2, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and then executing on X, Y, and Z is a really strong indicator of whether or not you can execute, which is what most, you know, investors or accelerators are looking for at this stage is, do I believe this person can execute or not?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. But then on the other side, it's also about educating mentors and making them realize that it's not about you telling founders what to do. It's about asking questions, challenging when the time is right, and being able to kind of look through the lines and identify where problems are or weaknesses are and just be able to slowly support. I think that relationship is so key to Accelerator, and we're always trying to improve it. But it can always, it is probably the riskiest part because it more often than not can go wrong.
Yeah, sometimes a mentor can be really helpful or sometimes just end up getting in the way. So I think that's really important. And I always advise EIRs or mentors of startups of just get out of the founder's way. Make sure your own assumptions are, you know, your own and they say your own. But the founder should know that market the best. You can help them with the foundations of building a company and a startup, but they should know their customer in the market the best and be able to trust that. So I love that you mentioned that. I would love to... go ahead.
Sorry. And also language. The language that mentors can use to founders can be incredibly influential. So, you know, not using the word should, you need to... Like, that forceful language, that's what is switching people off and means that you're not going to get listened to and, you know, founders are just going to ignore your advice and go on to the next thing.
Yeah, I love that. I saw Ash Fontana, who is actually an Aussie venture capitalist here in Silicon Valley. He was talking about how they use the word "we work for" our companies in their portfolio, not "we invest in." They say "we work for" because it's a mindset.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
And I really appreciated that because it's not a one-way relationship with investors and
founders, it's both way. We work for each other. So I just really love that you brought that up of language is really, really important in how you view the relationship, whether it's with an investor or with a mentor or your co-founders or your employees. Language definitely makes a big difference in how people view the relationship. So I think that's really important. I would love from your perspective of being able to see the Australian ecosystem evolve, what has it been like? What is it like currently? And what ingredients do you think are important that have evolved in the Australian ecosystem for it to thrive to the point where it is today?
Certainly, there's been a lot of growth, I think, in my time, which is now over 7 years. I've definitely seen that, you know, when I came to Pollinizer, there wasn't a huge amount of activity within entrepreneurship, but there was a lot of people that were trying. There was a lot of men attending all the boot camps. There wasn't a lot of women. I think there's been great initiatives around trying to uplift that. We have the likes of SBE, which is Springboard, their program here, which is for women founders. And we also have She Starts, which is a Blue Chili accelerator, which have created an amazing pipeline, certainly for us at Murray. So I think there's a lot of great people that have been behind the ecosystem, and not the original people from the years gone by. A lot of new people have come in and really given it the life and the diversity that it is needed. There's been a lot of influence from university, which is great. There's a lot more capital than there used to be, and you can even see that there's a lot more VCs, and even the VCs are interested in diversity. So everybody's trying to work together to evolve and for it to grow. And I think what is key to all ecosystems, and this is certainly a value of mine, is around connectivity and better connecting people so that we're understanding each other, we're learning from each other. So we had a great initiative that came alive last year called the Startup Hub, and that houses all of the co-working spaces, so Fishburners, which I mentioned earlier, and they're all together in one hub, and I think there's 11 floors. It's quite incredible. But it's not just startups, it's also about industry getting involved. Microsoft for Startups is in there as well. So, you know, we all know that hyper-connectivity will instill growth. And I think it's a great example of how we can connect to grow things faster. And that's exactly the whole premise of an accelerator. So, you know, we're working together. I came across this quote, which everybody knows, but it's a new thing for me. But the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And I think when you're an ecosystem builder like myself, it's certainly something that you can look to as inspiration, because, you know, we are better together than working in silos and working individually. And it's that connectivity and collaboration that's really going to drive us to the next level.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And I think that's one thing that Silicon Valley has done very well and is what it's made it very successful. And I think a lot of ecosystems now are catching on to that, of the community over competition. When I first moved here, I thought it was going to be super cutthroat and people would be mean and not take meetings. But in fact, it's quite the opposite. There's kind of a mantra here of, if you are lucky enough to get the elevator up to the top, you better send it back down. And so I think that yeah. idea of community over competition of, you know, I work at an accelerator and I meet and talk and work with a lot of other accelerators, because we understand it's an ecosystem. It's not a one person wins all. So I love to hear that has helped Australia as well become successful. And I think as the world becomes more connected, these ecosystems are just going to align more and more. And like you said, the quote about what was the quote that you said?
The whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, so it's definitely all of us coming together to work and build that ecosystem, because a startup ecosystem is a lot of accelerator or investor and founders and first employees. So it takes a lot to build that ecosystem. So I definitely agree with all that you said. So I'd love to learn, what does the future hold for Murdi? What are you guys excited about? Are there certain verticals you're going to be investing in or interested in? Or what does the kind of next step look like for you guys?
Yeah, so obviously today we're very focused on the program because we've just kicked it off. But we do very much look outside. We are... very committed to driving the ecosystem. You know, we've already invested in over 140 companies, and we see the pay it forward approach is still out there. You know, sometimes these founders aren't necessarily working on the business that they were on in Muradi, but they've gone on to do great things. So just seeing that is a very positive and optimistic response. So, but I suppose just thinking ahead and what does Muradi represent, it certainly wants to be focused on connecting the accelerators. And my boss, Julie Trell, and Ben Reed have started the Hive Mind, which is a great meetup which other cities could be adopting, where we have a monthly meetup of all accelerators and we have different topics. So last topic we talked about interns and how we can better support startups with an intern program. Another time we're talking about alumni. I really want to talk about service providers because we've got all these service providers coming to us and I don't know what to do with them because I'm like, well, I can't recommend the service provider. I haven't worked with them. So, you know, I certainly don't know everything about accelerators, but when I can lean on a network of other accelerator managers, that is incredibly useful. So I think it all comes down to how quickly we can learn from each other and how quickly we can implement that. And just being open to it, like not being closed and not thinking that we have all the answers, because I 100% wake up every day knowing that I do not have the answers to anything.
I'm sure you have lots of answers to a lot of things, but that's a great mindset to have, and I'm sure allows you to learn a lot. So you've had a very interesting journey, and I would just love to hear if you could stand on a soapbox and tell women all over the world listening to this podcast one thing that they had to soak in. What would you want other women to learn from your story specifically?
I think it's that. I think it's not needing to know the answers today and trusting that opportunity will take flight and, you know, just consistently thinking ahead, thinking big and thinking about the bigger picture. And, yeah, just hoping that, you know, the people that you work with are good. And, you know, that's what it comes down to. Like, who are you working with every day and how are they making you better? And I think that is just, for me personally, that is such a critical thing. And it's something that I hold very dear to. And I am very lucky for the teams that I've worked on so far in my career.
I love that. And I think that's such good advice, is look at who you're working with because they rub off a lot on you. So working with smart people makes you also really smart. So I think that's really, really great advice. Nice.
And you are the makeup of the five closest people to you. So you want to make sure that you like them.
Yes, that's very, very true. Well, thank you so much. And we look forward to talking with you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Real Capitalist Podcast. If you loved today's interview and want to support the show, please leave a 5-star review wherever you're tuning in from today. To learn more and read today's show notes, go to therealcapitalist.com/podcast. You can also follow us on social media @The Real Capitalist. See you next week with another great interview.